Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Wednesday night, September 29th, 2022. Don Tony right here for Wednesday night Dynamite. Feeling better. Still testing positive for COVID, but good news. Today was the first day that my wife tested negative. So we believe that she gave it to me 2 days after she got it. So hopefully by Thursday or Friday, I'll be out of this nonsense. We could kind of like get back to normal. You know, having a cold for 9 days is not fun, but, you know, enjoying some NyQuil, you know, taking some meds, you know, we're getting there. My thoughts and prayers, everyone who is affected by Hurricane Ian. You know, my parents, look, I told everybody a week ago, some of you saw it in the watch parties. You know, my parents were in Marco Island up until yesterday. Last night, I didn't even know if they were able to catch a flight out of Marco Island. They got back to New York late last night. I hear Naples has been leveled. Marco Island is flooded. Tampa is going through a lot. So each and every one of you, anybody that's affected in any way, shape, or form, even if you or somewhere else and you have family and friends there, my thoughts are absolutely with you. So, all right, check it out. Tonight, we're actually going to do the show a little bit different. I've been, you know, with my downtime, paying attention to a lot of the analytics, what conversations seem to pique everybody's interest. And what I am finding more and more is that, you know, you enjoy more of the deep discussion. And as far as giving recaps for TV shows, yeah, we could do it. But there's no reason to spend a half an hour recapping a show that most of us just saw. So we'll definitely talk about Dynamite. I have quite a few things to say about it. Saraya appearing tonight. And look, anybody who follows these shows know we are a big supporter of Saraya Paige. I like her. And I'm excited that she is back in wrestling. She is good for wrestling. I know when she was very young, you know, you had some issues, but you know what? You know, she is good for wrestling. But I think AEW not only missed a tremendous opportunity today, but, you know, especially because they did not have their full roster there. Tonight would have been a perfect example as to why you hold off Saraya talking until next week. Yes, I know they advertised that she was going to be speaking today. You know, every week somewhere on the banner, we hear from blah, 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 blah. She speaks, he speaks. So maybe what they should have done was have Saraya start talking. You know, welcome back. Good to be here. This and that. And before she can actually make an announcement, she should have been interrupted by Britt Baker. Period. Because how that went off tonight, not only did it look awful on TV, let's be honest, it looked fucking awful on TV. It looked almost comical. But if you actually, like, listen to some of the things that were said, some of it made no sense. You know, we'll get into it. We'll get into it. Chris Jericho taking on Bandido. Now, anybody that's followed my shows for a couple of years, I said about 2 years ago that keep the name Bandido on your radar. That guy is going to be a future star. Now, one match is not, you know, you see people today, oh, Tony, sign him. You know, those are the people that, you know, to have 10,000 toys and a brand new variation of something comes out and, mommy, I got to have it. You know, one match is not going to do it. But he showed tonight why he definitely belongs. No question. That guy's future is extremely bright. However, the end of the match had me laughing my ass off. I am sick and tired of masked wrestlers who suddenly turn into disabled, armless people. You know, when their mask gets pulled down, you go back and you watch it tonight. I not only laughed, but I had an immediate flashback to something else. For any of you that did not see it, or for any of you that did see it, towards the end of the match, Chris Jericho takes Bandido's mask and pulls it down just a little bit to cover his eyes. Now, if I have a mask on, now I'm not going to put the deli mask on, you know, just to show it as an example, but, you know, Bandido's mask is also one that is easier to adjust. And Jericho pulls his mask down a little bit. Now, you would think, now, maybe you could pretend this is a mask, okay? Pretend this is a mask. Now, Jericho pulls it down. Now, why the fuck would I just not go, hey, what are you doing? He pulls the mask down, and Bandido, for about 5 seconds, am I wrong? You know what I immediately thought of? Who remembers this? Who remembers this? This is what Bandido looked like tonight, you fucking goof.
Let go of that fella.
Bandido! Fucking idiot. Awful. No excuse for that. No excuse for that. Go back and watch it. He pulled the mask down just a little bit. Instead of Bandido just fixing it, he's like, ooh. Fucking awful. Hey, anytime we could bring up the Naked Gun, you know that I'll always do that. In fact, I probably watch it tonight before I go to bed. But look, excellent match. But, you know, little things like that are just not acceptable for me, to be honest with you. Now, keep in mind, everyone, that AEW did have quite a few people that were unable to appear, not only because of the storm, but because, you know, a lot of travel was interrupted. You didn't have to, you know, live in the eye of the storm to be affected. So, you know, and you know what? We're going to talk about Malakai Black as well. Because Monday night, as I was about to go off the air over here, a few people were letting me know that, oh, Malakai Black just went live on Instagram and he's talking about, you know, the contract and he's talking about a few things. And I got into it a little bit yesterday on Patreon. But I have a little clip of what Malakai Black said on Instagram 2 days ago. And I'm going to be very respectful about it. I really feel bad for Malakai Black. I also feel that some of what transpired is because of his own doing, and I will tell you why. And that's not being cruel. That's not being nasty. Anybody that tuned into Sunday's sit-down episode, we had a long conversation about Buddy Matthews. And what did I say? Unless I hear from Buddy Matthews' mouth, unless I hear from AEW's mouth, I'm taking it with a grain of salt. We can talk about what if, but I'm not reporting it as news. I don't report shit like that unless I hear it come from the person's mouth. Malakai Black a week ago could have prevented what transpired the last 5-6 days. So we'll definitely get into that in a little bit. Before we do that, I want to make mention to this. And I know, you know, not everybody falls in this age bracket, but it happened tonight, and I definitely want to bring it up right away. Rest in peace, Coolio. 59 years old, you know, definitely too young to go. And, you know, for any of you out there, you know, that was an ECW fan, To this day, whenever I hear the song Gangsta's Paradise, I think of the ECW event in 1995, an event that I got to see. I'm going to go through my photo album this weekend, and I'm going to pull a couple of, you know, I don't know if it was a 110 camera. I think it was a 135 film, but I took some pictures that night as well. Gangsta's Paradise, I mean, my God, you would see, that's what sucks about the WWE Network. All the original music is dubbed over, But, you know, one of the things that were amazing back when you watched ECW, even late at night, is when they showed you advertisements for events that took place, and they used Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise. And still to this day, whenever I hear that song, I think about that ECW event. And, you know, I went online tonight to pull a card from that event that ECW had, Gangsta's Paradise. And I'm just going to read you the results very quickly, just to give you an idea of how awesome this card was. Now, some names you're not going to know, but some names are going to surprise you. So from that night in 1995, Bull Payne beat the Broad Street Bully. You know, they never got over in ECW, especially in Philly. The Dudleys over Chad Austin and Donnie Allen, pretty much of a squash match there. Hack Myers over JT Smith. Jason Knight and the Eliminators defeating Taz and the Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott Steiner, six-man tag match. We had the Pit Bulls and defeat Raven and Stevie Richards, 2 out of 3 falls match, a dog collar match for the ECW tag titles. I remember that table spot for Stevie Richards that night was something that everybody always remembered. Rey Mysterio Jr. beating Psychosis. Thank God Excalibur was not on commentary back in the ECW days, because we always knew him as Psychosis. You know for a fact that if Excalibur was on commentary, he'd be like, Psychosis. Oh, Psychosis. Fuck you. We say it the American way. Psychosis. Rey beat Psychosis that night. Memorable match. And the main event was the Gangsta's Paradise cage match. Mikey Whipwreck and the Public Enemy over Two Cold Scorpio, New Jack, and the Sandman. If you go back to that day, you remember all the vignettes of Mikey Whipwreck training with the Public Enemy for that match. Drinking in the park. Do I need to bring it? The big memories, man. But rest in peace, Coolio. You know, I was a big fan of old school hip hop. 90s, it was more of like House of Pain, you know, things like that. But ECW, very, very, very influential as far as some of us still being fans of rap music in the mid-90s. Definitely a fun time, you know, to not only be a wrestling fan, but a music fan as well. So, all right. Let's briefly talk about Soraya, because that obviously is maybe the biggest topic to come out of tonight's show. I brought this up last week. And I think AEW really, sometimes they do it to themselves. The big elephant in the room with Soraya is, can she wrestle again? That was the number one thought on everybody's mind a week ago. Can she wrestle again? Now, I said a week ago that AEW and Soraya really need to clear that up quickly. Because, yes, it's good that she's back in wrestling, but you really need to clear that up. Is she going to be a cheerleader? Is she going to be, as she called tonight, she was the Revolution, is the Revolution, and she's bringing back the Revolution? You know, listen, no disrespect, honey. No disrespect. AEW is officially my house. Okay, good. Reportedly 3 years. We don't know that for sure. But when she comes out there today, cuts a promo, she talks about how she was the Revolution and she's going to be the Revolution again. And she says, let me bring out the women's division. First person I think about is, you know, Jade Cargill. Thunder Rosa, Toni Storm, whatever. Now, of course, because of the storm, you're not going to have all your women there. When she says, let's bring out the women's division, this is what comes out. Willow Nightingale, yeah, no Ruby Soho, you know, Sky Blue, Toni Storm, Athena, that's your women's division. Oh, well, she interrupted by the heels. Basically, Britt Baker's camp at Penelope Ford. Why do this fucking segment tonight when you know you have a lot of people on your roster that are not there? I mean, that is almost like NXT. You know, like developmental NXT. You know, when you tout a revolution, you better have some intimidating, impressive young guns. And Toni Storm, Athena, I have nothing against. You know my support for them. Britt Baker has really evolved and has done well. You know, Jamie Hayter, do we really even need to bring up? She is awesome. But that's your revolution? I mean, it just came off awful. Her promo, even though it sounded exciting, you know, it was basically mumbling. And then they put her on fucking commentary. Then they put her on commentary. First of all, she makes it a lumberjack match tonight. So Serena Deeb versus Toni Storm is now a lumberjack match. Is Soraya now playing GM for the women's division, or is she wrestling? They put her on commentary. And you have Excalibur and Taz and others on commentary. And the question is never asked. Are you returning to the ring? It's not even discussed. It's not even talked. Especially when Soraya is in the ring cutting a promo. I have eyes and I have ears, which basically means I can see and I can hear what's going on. The elephant in the fucking room is, Soraya, are you returning to the ring? Yes or no? Now, me, I have been told she is. I have been told she is. We had that conversation last week. I don't report it as news because I don't know for sure. I will not put a period at the end of that sentence until I hear it from her or from AEW or Tony Khan. And that is the question. Look at the feedback tonight. That's not pro-WWE, anti-AEW fans on social media in droves saying, what the fuck did we learn tonight about Soraya? I mean, what is she doing? Is she wrestling or is she not? Just throw it out there. It's not something that needs to be built up, you know, and then, you know, will you, remember that Hulk Hogan back then, you know, who was he going to fight? Was it Andre the Giant? And he's just like, will you, what are you going to do with Soraya? Will you wrestle? Yes or no? Yes! Oh, come on. She's on commentary. She's cutting a promo. You got the whole week. Yes or no? Are you returning to the ring? See, we'll segue into Malakai Black. We'll segue into Malakai Black. Because I really feel bad for this guy. You know, mental health does not discriminate. You could be big, strong. You could be weak, black, white, straight, gay. It doesn't matter. It affects everyone. Mental health could take over everything. Do I think that he's fragile, close to the edge? Anybody that knows why I said that, props to you. But, you know, if you're going to make comments, you know, you have to be a little bit more concise. And this is why I'm segueing from Soraya to Malakai Black, because maybe AEW wants to keep this unclear. Why? I have no fucking idea when it comes to Soraya, because that's obviously the big thing that everybody needs to know. They need to know. So about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Malakai Black, all the rumors are is that he requested his release, and he got a conditional release. Now, you don't have to be a high school graduate to think conditional release means that you are released under certain conditions. Duh, right? So now this brews for 2 weeks, and people are coming up with their own conclusions of what Malakai Black's conditional release means. Oh, he can wrestle elsewhere, but he can't wrestle for WWE. Oh, he cannot come back here. And it just sits there. And it sits there. And then what happens? People start trying to guess what actually it actually is. And then fake news starts coming out. And then you have people that will use other people's sites. We brought up, you know, how many times I got to bring up the Colt Cabana CM Punk stuff with Nick Houseman, you know. With all due respect, nobody wants to go there because all the journalists are all in the same clique. But people need to understand, Malakai Black, a week ago, made a statement. And he said, and I have it in front of me, these were his exact words. I indeed asked for my release. The last 2 years of my life have lended to be a lot of setbacks. Both me and my wife have been affected by uncontrollable actions from the outside that resulted in loss of life, medical setbacks, career jeopardizing, the suicide of a close friend and close family member, almost losing their life, then experiencing an injury that I was sure was the end of my career. I spent every week going through several sessions of rehab, dry needling, and therapy just to be able to walk and compete. Now this being the tip of the iceberg, with the combination of the promises in my professional field that were not upheld, which resulted as a combination of all of these to a complete demoralization of life and career. This decision has been in my mind for the past 6 months. I could go on and on. Those were his exact words. Now, I say this to Malachi Black with the utmost respect. You opened up the statement that said, I indeed asked for my release. Why did you not also say that I am still under AEW contract, that I was not given a release, or I agreed with Tony Khan to take some time off, but I will be returning? He left it vague. He never said anything about it, that it's not a conditional, it's not this. He said, I did indeed ask for my release. So what do you expect? Now, I'm not defending these journalists because you know me. We've talked about the formula. These journalists don't give a fuck about his well-being, about Keith Lee's well-being, about anybody out there. Because Monday night, when Malachi Black went live on Instagram, he was on for about 5-6 minutes, I think, and he addressed all of this, and he called out the dirt sheets. He called out people that only use people for hits and views. How many years have I been instilling that for everybody here? People out there use you, use your emotion, clickbait. They write stuff that they don't even know the answer of. I'm going to show you 2 minutes of what Malachi Black said on Monday. After I show it to you, then I'm going to tell you something else that happened online not even 15 minutes after he streamed this video. This is a portion of what Malachi Black said Monday night.
Threats. Death threats. Death threats. You wish death upon a person because of what someone else has said and then says that it's confirmed. It's not confirmed. Clearly it's not confirmed. None of it's confirmed. There's no confirmation because I haven't left. I'm not like, luckily I've been, and that's what this whole thing was about. I've been giving time off by Tony to take care of a bunch of stuff. All this stuff has been cleared up like weeks ago. All this stuff was weeks ago. And I posted that statement as a summary as to, for you to understand why I take some time off. Again, it's in the statement. Like, it is in the statement. Like, it's mind-boggling that you still, like, if this isn't enough incentive for you guys to stop believing these people, that I don't know what is. Because if you, like, again, if you were part of this, like, whole mob that, like, went into, like I said, sending me a bunch of hateful comments based on the words of someone else, then sorry, but you're dumb. Like, you're stupid. Like, and of course, like, again, like, does anyone understand that, like, in the time where I'm going through this stuff and I'm kind of dealing with a bunch of stuff in a very productive manner, that exactly doesn't help. And what I hate about it is that none of these dirt sheets will take responsibility. None of these guys will take accountability and say, oh shit, we fucked up. I'm sorry. We should have probably not said that. He's going through some stuff. Maybe we should not, you know, maybe we should not make all these baseless assumptions, because again, as it turns out, it's not true. None of it's true. Not one single thing of it is true. So, again, if you were part of this mob that, like, felt the need to even send me death threats, then, well, thank you, dirt sheets, because clearly Those people, they don't care about my mental health. They don't care about your mental health. They don't care about your feelings. They don't care about my wife. They don't care about my family. They don't give a shit. All they want is like dumb clicks for stuff that they're making up, because they're tying bridges between things that are no longer there. They're tying things between.
I think you get the gist of it. The formula. We talked about it so many times over the years. You're seeing it. Remember, and I know I bring this up all the time, but it's probably the one that you need to remember more. Remember Keith Lee? You remember? Oh, he was pulled from Elimination Chamber or some pay-per-view because Vince McMahon had nothing for him. He fell out of favor with Vince McMahon. And all these people were going on all these diatribes about him and creative and him not clicking this and that. Meanwhile, he was on his deathbed. Not exaggerating. The guy was fighting for his life. Then he finally revealed it. Something that he probably didn't need to reveal because it's so personal, but he revealed it. And I'll never fucking forget some of those journalists, some of those podcasters, because we've called them out before. You know who they are. And they were like, oh, fuck. I had no idea. Holy shit. You know, and you remember Mia Yim that same night? All right, going forward, can we all do a little better? And everybody out there, you know, we got to do better. You know, we got to care. At the end of the day, we all love wrestling, this and that. And right back to what they were doing. Do you know, after that video streamed, I don't blame some people to go right on social media or go on their podcast and talk about it. Obviously, this is a big deal to talk about. But do you know that within an hour after Malakai Black streamed that video, do you know that news reporters were actually reporting that Buddy Matthews and Malakai Black apparently smoothed things over with AEW going back as far as before the last pay-per-view, that they ironed things out, and they don't even know? I mean, it's like heroin. It's like a fucking drug. These people got to get hits and views. They got to get your subscriptions. They got to get your likes. They got to just feel. For some people, it's just, look at Sasha Banks, Mercedes. She changes her name on social media from Sasha Banks, WWE, to Mercedes Renardo because when she comes back, she's going to be able to do some outside things. But meanwhile, 75% of the WWE roster on their social media accounts have their real names. So she does it, and now people are assuming this, insinuating this, saying this. I'm not talking about fans that are fantasizing. Nothing wrong with fantasizing. Wow, Tony Khan, if you really want to make a revolution, you sign Mercedes, bring in Trinity, you know, Naomi. You know, that's fine. You fantasize, you want to, but you got reporters and journalists that are using all. It was only a week ago that all of these sites were saying that, oh, WWE is reaching out to various wrestlers and some wrestlers, you know, so they could go back with their significant others, as they put it, teasing about Andrade, teasing about this, teasing about that. They will never learn. So, yeah, I'm going to say it. I'll be one of the few that'll say it. Malakai Black, when he issued that statement a week ago, if he would have simply added, I'm still at AEW, I will be back. Right now, I'm taking some time off. Probably would have prevented everything that went on over the last week. All right. That doesn't mean that these sites are going to do anything different. And I want to say one last thing about this, and we'll move on. Remember this. And this is something that people poignantly leave out all the time. When Malakai Black issued that statement a week ago, he was very upset that issues about mental health especially leaked out to the news media, okay? Now, you have some news media like, oh, we will never go there. We will never talk about this. We will never talk about that. But you see what they leave out, friends? They leave out the fact that you have management within AEW that is giving that information to those sites. That is something that is not talked about. And like I said, no news outlet out there, they're not on AEW's payroll. But believe me when I tell you, I've been doing this since 1997. All right. And believe me when I tell you, you make friends over the years. You want to get what anybody remembers, Mr. Mystery. For those that don't remember or weren't around at the time of my shows, back in the mid 2000s, we had someone who worked within TNA. I'm not going to say who he is, but he, I became friendly with, and he would give us tons and tons of scoops that no one else had. I broke the story when Hall, Nash, X-Pac, all coming back to TNA. We broke so many stories back then. But because the Mike Johnsons of the world, the Dave Shearers of the world, the Wade Kellers of the world despised me, they would never report anything that we were breaking. And we were doing it almost every week for a good 9-10 months, breaking shit, putting shit on the shows. And people like, oh, that's not true. That's bullshit. And then a week later, holy shit, it's true. He actually came on one time and we disguised his voice. We mumbled his voice so nobody would know who it is. Mr. Mystery. I didn't get paid anything. I didn't pay him anything. But the thing is that when you are a journalist, or if you're a podcaster, or you want to break news, you always want to get someone to give you little crumbs. And that's what's going on online right now. Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody has a Patreon. Everybody has a YouTube channel. Everybody has an audio podcast. Everybody, and you got hundreds of news sites out there. And how do you choose to click this person over this person? These people will never tell you that they get this shit directly from people within AEW. They'll never reveal it. Who in their right mind would fucking reveal that? So they'll just act like, oh, our sources tell us. Or they'll say, remember the words ending in L-Y, reportedly, possibly, likely, you know, eventually. You know, any word that ends in an L-Y in a news article, when I read it, I just disregard it. But this is what's going on. And honestly, I'm sorry if it pisses people off. This is why I defended CM Punk for going after the journalists, for going after the office in AEW. Because you have people, and I'm a fan of AEW. I want to see them strive. I want to see them grow. The better they are, the more I'm entertained. I just want to be entertained. But understand, you have people in that company that when they get upset, they give little crumbs to certain people in the news world and they throw that stuff out there and they leave it vague to make it seem like, okay, it's not confirmed, it's possibly, and that's more to cover the ass of the reporter. Because when the mental health stuff came out about Malachi Black, all of these sites use the L-Y words because they don't want Malachi Black one day at a wrestling convention and say, hey, aren't you the guy that you know, posted all the stuff about my mental health and stuff like that? You know, so they are vague. Why do you think Nick Houseman, have nothing against the man, but when he went on the Ring of Honor Q&A, what did he do? Oh, well, Fightful reportedly said that, you know, Cole Cabana was moved to Ring of Honor. You know, he just used someone else's to throw it out there. So this is a problem. This has been going on for many, many years. And the problem is, and this is what I've always said, in the past, before 3 years ago, there was no AEW. It was basically WWE. Nobody gave a shit about gossip with Impact Wrestling. Nobody gives a shit about gossip with MLW. Nobody cares about gossip with Ring of Honor from a couple of years ago. The biggest gossip from Ring of Honor before it shut down was the incident with the fan that was getting very, very nasty to the women, and Bully Ray pulled him aside and basically threatened the guy. And the guy deserved it. But CM Punk, I applaud what he did. It's unprofessional, of course. But that's why when I say to you, you have a clash of culture within AEW. You have people out there that when they have a problem or if they have an agenda, and I'm sorry, I know I said this on the Sunday show that doesn't get as much attention, but I'll say it here now. No one has been able to provide me a clip, a quote, a statement, anything. So I'm not saying that he did or didn't say it, but for the 9 months that all of these people were reporting that Colt Cabana was moved from Ring of Honor and almost let go because of CM Punk coming into the company and because of the problems they had, how come in that 9+ months, Colt Cabana never went on social media for 10 seconds and said, look, everybody, I appreciate all your support. But look, all of these reports that I was moved from here or forced out of here because of CM Punk is just not true. All right, we don't talk. We're not friends. You know, he does his thing. I do mine. But it's not true. How come he never fucking opened his mouth? And if he did open his mouth, he did a piss poor job to make sure that everybody reported it. Because I never heard it. And most of you out there have said to me, nah, DT, I've never heard it either. So understand, you know, we love pro wrestling. We love being entertained. We like what we're seeing on TV. We like the matches, the storylines, the angles. We like the fantasy. We like the possibility. But understand that at the end of the day, it's a business. Malakai Black, at the very end of his Instagram stream Monday, said, this is his business. It's a job. It's a job. It's his business. For all these people, it's business. You know, people made such a big deal about when someone says it's, this is what it is. It's business. And everybody online that does this stuff, they're not going to change. Before AEW came around, it was mostly WWE. And these places knew Vince McMahon would never go on Twitter or go on TikTok and say, you're a liar. I never said that. That's not true. Well, you think Triple H is going to go on social media and call out these journalists? You think Bruce Pritchard, Kevin Dunn, anybody? No. Stephanie? No. So these people just for years have been doing this over and over and over again, and it's an addiction. And like I said, as soon as Black finished his stream, right away, unconfirmed. How's about fucking confirming it first? Guys, gals, let's move on, but I'll leave you with one question that I would love to see some of you ask a lot of these podcasters, journalists, and all these others. Ask them why they never write, we reached out to Malakai Black for clarification, but he did not reply. We reached out to Saraya for clarification about an in-ring return. She did not answer our message. We reached out to AEW for a statement, and we received no reply. Instead, unconfirmed, reportedly, possibly, likely, maybe, but you never ever see in the article, we reached out to Keith Lee. We reached out to Bobby Fish. We reached out to Andrade. We reached out to this person. We reached out and received no reply. If you post that and they don't respond, well, then you know what? Then you could put it on that person and say, well, you know what? At least they made the attempt. You never ever see that. These people don't do that. And people are starting to be called out over it. I'm telling you, when CM Punk did what he did, I came on this show and said that the internet wrestling community needs the Elite, Hangman Page, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks. They need them more than they need CM Punk. Because CM Punk ain't giving no crumbs to anybody out there. So which one are they going to put this crusade to force out of AEW? Which side are they going to take? It's like 95-5 that people are going to be against CM Punk because CM Punk is not going to give them anything at all. So that's what's happening right now. And August 13th, 2022. What is that date? Why is it important for yours truly? If you go on my channel, and go check out the August 13th episode that I did. In the title of the show, I wrote the biggest problem, the biggest mistake Tony Khan needs to avoid in AEW. And if you look at the synopsis, it says he needs to avoid one mistake that WCW and Dixie Carter did not. And if you go check out that August 13th episode, I talked about how Tony Khan needs to not fall into the trap where he absolutely refuses to release anybody. That he just signs people and keeps them under contract so they don't go to WWE. I spent about 15 minutes that day talking about it. And what came out yesterday? Dave Meltzer reported that Tony Khan, not reportedly, not likely, but he said clearly, Tony Khan will not be granting any releases, period. That is not, we cannot confirm it, reportedly, likely, Dave Meltzer's comments, and I quote, nobody's getting released. That's the doctrine. Tony Khan made that very clear in the last couple of days. Now it's just Blacks, it's not just Black being released, Buddy Matthews isn't being released. Now they may be back sooner than before. That's the situation. And then he goes on and on and on, and he says that they signed the contract, so basically now their option is to sit at home, and he can, Tony Khan, extend the contract if they sit at home or wrestle. That is the biggest mistake that we said, because if Tony Khan is going to keep people under contract simply so they don't go to WWE, that guy's money is going to start pissing away faster than I think anybody could even imagine. Look, AEW is not in any jeopardy of shutting down or anything like that. The worst thing that's happening to AEW right now is they can't curse on TV anymore. Did you see that tonight? MJF tried to use the word shit. Ain't happening. You know, Saraya, you know, that catchy little phrase. Hey, yo, DMD, you know, your name rhymes with shit. Can't say that either. You know, we told everyone a while back that Warner Media was going to have, you know, AEW start toning shit down. If you pay a close attention to Jon Moxley, that is just a little bit of blood. Almost like I cut myself shaving amount of blood. You know, the vulgarity is being cut down. The blood is being cut down. A lot of the weapons are being cut down. You're not seeing as many tables breaking as you used to. You're not seeing a... And look, guess what? Remember when we had the conversation about MJF going to WWE? What is the biggest challenge for MJF to go to WWE? To cut the promos that get under your skin without using expletives, without talking about somebody being a crackhead whore. You know, that is the challenge. Now MJF, you know, he's playing. You know, some of you may even think, remember the network? Remember the storyline that Paul Heyman did with Don Callis? Wasn't it Don Callis and playing the network? When they went to was it Spike TV at that time? Yeah, Spike TV, we got pop. Remember that? And then they played it off as a storyline. So now they're playing off as a storyline that the censors are going to get to them. But, yeah, this is what's happening. You know, I think the problem for 3 years, and you all know this already, is that AEW, you know, that noise online, you know, AEW could do no wrong. AEW was untouchable. Everything was close to perfect. And the problem is when you give that impression, you know, and people stop buying into that stuff, that shit's dangerous. You know, when someone feels that everything they're doing is absolutely perfect, but there is a shitload of flaws. So believe me when I tell you, Tony Khan, he's not a dumb man. You know, he might have a personality disorder, but he's not a dumb man. And he knows that some of these people online that are desperate for crumbs, that they make him and AEW out to be something that it's not. And shit is coming back to backfire. And all of this stuff right now, take note how Tony Khan doesn't reel any of this stuff in. Take note that Tony Khan never addresses the news media out there. Take note that he never says, listen, everybody, you know, if you really appreciate our stars and what we do and this and that. He never spoke out when MJF walked out. What kind of message did you send your roster? What kind of message did you send your fans that, you know, not only did MJF walk out of AEW, he walked out on every wrestler who busts their ass that works for you. He walked out on every fan. He walked out on everything that we never opened his fucking mouth because he was more excited about, oh my God, can you imagine the pop when he comes back? And even the CM Punk stuff, did he ever address the CM Punk stuff? Did he ever say that it was acceptable or unacceptable? Did he ever address the EVPs? Did he ever address the leaks that are going out online, especially it's about some people's uber personal shit. So please, you know, a lot of people out there, you know, shit's starting to backfire in their face. You're going to see more people besides Malachi Black and others coming out there. So, all right, we can move on. So, by the way, for those that are interested, we have some merchandise that is on sale now for Soraya. One is an AEW shirt, and a few others are not. So you might want to check it out. First off, yeah, here you go. This is the new shirt that is on sale over on Pro Wrestling Tees. This is Soraya's new shirt. You can't kill me. Okay. So, but I found this tonight, and I know a lot of you are probably not even aware of it. You know, she is allowed to have some merch outside of AEW. If you go to firmerch.com, F-I-R-merch.com, there are some zombified. In fact, I think she might have wore one of those shirts tonight. Those look pretty cool. So if you want to go to that website, you could go check it out. And by the way, there is a new Miro shirt that is on sale. I don't know how I feel about this shirt. I'm going to show you a small picture of it. Now, from far away, especially on your phone, you're looking like, what the fuck is that? So I'm now going to zoom in. And I guess they're making him look like a prophet. I don't know how I feel about this, especially when he ain't doing gots on TV. What the fuck is he doing on TV? The Nidima! He ain't doing nothing. It's not his fault. But that is the new shirt that is on sale. So in case you want to buy it, maybe you want to go check it out. Oh, and one other thing. And yes, we can report this because the people that did the artwork put it online. So this is not invading privacy. But 24 hours after Malachi Black did that live stream, how did he spend his day? Well, he's getting half of his head tattooed. Someone said that's supposed to be a hurricane. I'm not sure. Obviously, that is nowhere near complete. But I know some of you out there are into tattoos. So I'm thinking you maybe get a kick out of that. And once again, shout out to Bandito. Let go of that fella. That was so awful, man. That was so awful. My God. Yeah, that tattoo on his head is really going to stand out. But you know what? I really can't complain. I mean, you know, that's his style. You know, I have no issue with that. Me, I don't have tattoos. I have scars. I have scars and I got flab. That's my tattoos. So, all right. Briefly tonight, AEW, this was the agenda tonight. Not a bad card. You know, John Moxley versus Juice Robinson, you know, they did a little video package. You know, I would have probably preferred to see that video package last week. I think when they talked about John Moxley, when Shivani was talking about Moxley in that video package, I think that was designed to basically, you know, like just add a little oomph towards CM Punk that John Moxley is the sole AEW champion. Juice Robinson, a couple of victories over Moxley since he has been in AEW, but not tonight. That was not the main event tonight. I was a little bit questioning Jericho versus Bandito as the main event, but looking back on it now, it was the right decision because not only, you know, you're playing to the Philly crowd. Know your audience. So obviously, Bandito is going to get a little bit of a better reaction in Philly because of, you know, Ring of Honor's home, you know, turf, so to speak. Plus Jericho issuing the challenge to Bryan Danielson in 2 weeks. They're going to be in Canada in 2 weeks, and Bryan Danielson will be taking on Jericho for the Ring of Honor title. Now, let's keep it in perspective. Ring of Honor is still a dead promotion. It's just titles being defended on TV. There is no house shows. You know, when they kept saying tonight that Bandito is getting the rematch that he deserved, that he never received. Well, that's fucking Tony Khan's fault because you're not doing shows. Am I wrong? By the way, why can't the Briscoes be on TV? We know why, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it's funny when people talk about, oh, they put the belt on Jericho for negotiating power so Ring of Honor could get a TV deal. We talked about how unrealistic that is just on the, you know, the production side of it. You imagine if they get a TV deal? You know, everybody's going to be on TV with the Briscoes? You know, are the Briscoes suddenly going to, you know, quit or be... This is ridiculous, man. I'm telling you, at the end of the day, you're going to realize how ridiculous some of that shit being reported actually is. Yes, Benjamin, you're right. Briscoes are persona non grata. All right. Anyway, we get, as we said, Jon Moxley beating Juice Robinson tonight. After the match was over, Hangman Page confronts the champion, only to be interrupted by MJF, who was in the skybox tonight. But he now has the Ass Boys with him because a little bit earlier in the night, Wheeler Utah, and yes, know your audience, Wheeler Utah, much more over in Philadelphia compared to other areas, so they put Utah out there today. Utah, you know, wants a piece of MJF. MJF comes out. You know, the funny thing about it is he's got the Ass Boys with him. And Yuta, like, backs off. You know, if you really want to win Yuta over for me, you fucking charge all three of them anyway. You know, the Ass Boys with MJF, and Yuta's like, you know, let me at him. Nobody's holding him back or anything. But they're going to fight next week in Washington. So MJF refuses to fight Yuta tonight, but Yuta would have the last laugh because after Moxley beat Juice Robinson, Hangman Page comes out, crazy pop from the crowd, reminding everyone that he's getting a title shot soon. MJF reminding everyone he's got the casino chip. And meanwhile, in the skybox, Yuta is behind him. He doesn't see him. MJF turns around. We get a little bit of a brawl. You know, it was an okay brawl. If you focus on the Ass Boys, when that was going down, it looked pretty awful on their part. But, you know, oh, yeah, no, MJF is going to beat Yuta next week. It's not even a question. I want to see if W. Morrissey comes out. Now, remember, you know, when some people say tonight, oh, how come this person didn't show? How come this person didn't come out? How come this person didn't make the save? You know, not everybody was there because of Hurricane Ian. So just keep that in the back of your mind. You know, I, like I said, if I would have criticized anything tonight for AEW, they should have held off the women's stuff with Saraya. When she called out, oh, let's bring out the women's division. You expected about 15 women to come out on that stage. And I, you know, first person probably should have been Jay Cargill. When you realize and you literally, I mean, this is literally the babyface women's division tonight. And this was literally the heel women's division tonight. Somebody in production has to say, you know what? Not tonight. Not tonight. Let Britt Baker interrupt Saraya before she, and Saraya should have teased. Everybody wants to know. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Will I return to the ring? Before she could say it, Britt Baker should have interrupted her and prevented her from saying that. But you had Saraya, she talked and she said nothing. Seriously. I'm being honest. This is just my opinion. I like the girl. I'm rooting for her. I'm happy she's back. Let's be honest. Saraya did a lot of talking today and said nothing. And those commentators not bringing up the most obvious question made it look even more stupid. And honestly, social media right now is really, really hammering, you know, Saraya tonight. Saraya, excuse me. You know, you say potato, I say potato. I'm going to say Saraya, you know, hey, you know, nobody needs to clear it up for me. So, next week also, we're going to get a tag team match, which I kind of wish that the breakup would have been a little bit different. I hope this doesn't turn into a setup down the line. But next week, we're getting Bryan Danielson and Daniel Garcia teaming up to take on Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho. No Jake Hager tonight, probably. Storm related, but when they opened up Dynamite tonight with a celebration, everybody is wearing purple except, well, actually, no, Luigi is wearing a little purple as well. A lot of you out there probably still aren't even aware of Luigi Primo, the pizza guy. Hey, how you doing? Some New York pizza for everybody. I like the segment. But as I'm watching it, I'm like, yeah, AEW has a lot of sports entertainment. You know, people like to say that they're different from WWE. All you got to think of is dinosaurs and... But I don't criticize Jericho. He's getting older. You know, Father Time catches up with you. KD, it's sooner or later. You know, believe me when I tell you, you know, it happens. You know, even some of the, I remember even Bruno Sammartino might have been the only exception, because even Bruno at 70, I was like, the fuck is, you know, but yeah, I mean, you know, your body changes a little bit. We've seen it with some other wrestlers. But Jericho, my God, I mean, you know, he had a great match with Bandito tonight. You know, the announcer, Bobby Cruz, that's who he is, that, you know, sounded all upset that Jericho won. But meanwhile, 90% of the match was wrestled with honor. But they had the celebration, and Jericho gives Daniel Garcia a special gift. It's a purple Kango hat. I actually thought it looked good. I'm pretty sure I've seen LL Cool J back in the 80s wearing a purple Kango once in a while. But Daniel Garcia doesn't like it. Bryan Danielson comes out. Bryan Danielson, you know, is basically telling Daniel Garcia, you could do whatever you want. You could be yourself. Chris Jericho interrupts Daniel Garcia, who was about to tell him that he doesn't want to be part of this anymore. Jericho asks him, are you a pro wrestler or a sports entertainer? And the crowd is going nuts. And let me tell you something. When Daniel Garcia first showed up, to me, he looked like my little nephew, you know, but you could see he's put a little bit more size on him and he's getting to talk a little bit more. And I'm actually digging what they're doing with Daniel Garcia. No complaints really to me at all right now. So Daniel Garcia, he wants out of the Jericho Appreciation Society. Well, you know, Matt Menard is all pissed off. You know, a year ago, you know, we took you under our wing and we protected you. We did everything for you. Then Daniel Garcia is basically asking the fans, you know, is it sports entertainment if I throw this pizza on the floor? Is it sports entertainment if I, you know, team up with Justin Roberts, which actually got kind of a mild reaction? Would it be sports entertainment if I teamed up with Bryan Danielson? Is it sports entertainment if I kick Chris Jericho's ass? So, you know, nobody beat down Daniel Garcia. But in my opinion, I think this may lead to Daniel Garcia maybe beating Chris Jericho for the Ring of Honor world title. And yes, you know, promotion's still on hiatus, just the titles are being defended. But, you know, so what? If we're getting good wrestling, we're getting entertaining storylines on TV, that's what matters at the end of the day. So, you know, it's just, if they focus too much on Ring of Honor and New Japan guys when there are other people that are not getting an opportunity, that's where people complain. So, Bryan Danielson ends up having a match with Matt Menard because Daddy Magic wanted to hit Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson says, oh, you want to fight me? Well, I talked to Tony Khan early. He said I could have a match with anybody who wants to fight me. So they end up having a match. We had Angelo Parker trying to interfere a few times. Claudio comes out, takes care of him, carries him over to the back. And Bryan Danielson with a psycho knee followed by the lapel lock beats Matt Menard. You know, we're 30 minutes into Dynamite already. And we had a pretty quick match with Danielson and Menard in the opening segment. It was pretty good. Shout out to Liam Savage. Happy 11-month anniversary being a channel member. Much love, my friend. By the way, for everyone out there, if you are interested, tomorrow I will be putting on this channel the latest mailbag. I have not recorded it yet. I'm going to do it tomorrow during the day. But I have everybody's questions aside, and we got some good topics to get into. I'm looking forward to it. So, other match results tonight. We had, as we said earlier, Toni Storm retaining her interim women's championship, beating Serena Deeb. They turned it into a lumberjack match. You know, it was okay. You know, the Saraya commentary, I think, took away from the match because this match was a lot better than it was perceived, but so many people were just glued to what Saraya was talking about and what she was not talking about. But, you know, taking a little digs at WWE as well. You know, I think Saraya made a remark tonight, like, finally a boss that listens to me, and Toni Storm is finally being utilized the way she should have been. You know, believe me, you know, that happens in wrestling. You know, Paige is not being a backstabber. Saraya, excuse me. But for me tonight, I like that the crowd is continuing to acknowledge Jamie Hayter. I like that they're continuing to acknowledge Jamie Hayter because that is the woman that a lot of people want to see get elevated next. You know, will it happen? You know, I don't know. But, you know, she, I'm glad that people took notice. The crowd wants to see her go a little further. Ricky Starks beating Eli Isom. You know, he's a guy that's been featured in Ring of Honor. You know, again, know your audience. They're in Philly. That's why he was on there today. Not much of a match there. It was basically filler, to be honest with you. And, yeah, those are all your matches for tonight. We have five matches. That's pretty much what we get for AEW Dynamite on a regular basis now, 5 to 6 matches at most. Rampage Friday. Now here is where you see the limited roster for tonight. You have John Silva versus Rush. We have the Acclaimed versus Private Party versus the Butcher and the Blade, a three-way match. And, you know, a little bit coming out of today as well, Private Party may be aligning themselves again with Matt Hardy. And if that's the case, they may be babyfaces as well. So a little falling out with Andrade and his group tonight, and Matt Hardy is basically telling Private Party, come back. And we'll see where that goes. You know, I know a lot of people think that Jeff Hardy may be returning sooner than later. You know, we'll see. You know, he still has a lot of legal issues to deal with. We'll talk a little bit about that on the mailbag tomorrow because that was brought up a little bit. Willow Nightingale is going to take on Jamie Hayter on Rampage. Hook will be making an appearance, and Fuego del Sol versus Lee Moriarty. So a little bit of a skeleton crew for Friday's Rampage. Probably one of the lowest rated Rampages in recent weeks. You know, I think that pretty much is a guarantee. Next week we have MJF versus Wheeler Utah. Luchasaurus will be in action. Jericho and Sammy Guevara versus Brian Danielson and Daniel Garcia. Darby Allin, I don't understand why they're bringing him back so quickly. Guy got staples in his head last week, and he's going to be taking on Jay Lethal next Wednesday. Me, I don't care how tough of a son of a bitch Darby Allin is. You know, coming back 2 weeks after getting staples in your head, I think is a little bit stupid, in my opinion. But, you know, that's Tony Khan's call, and he's choosing to put him on TV. And then we're going to have National Scissor Day. National Scissor Day. How long are we going? We're already at 63 minutes. All right, let's talk a little bit more. NXT yesterday, we had Mandy Rose, non-title match over Fallon Henley. I tell you, yesterday's NXT, I don't know. It just felt like something was really missing. And this was pre-recorded. It was not live. So this, it wasn't a case where, and look, it was good that it wasn't live because obviously with the storm coming in. But Sol Ruka, she makes her debut beating Amari Miller. You know, keep that name on your radar. Sol Ruka is definitely a name that I think people are going to get familiar with very, very fast. She's good. And there is some video of her online. Definitely a name you should start paying attention to. Joe Gacy over Cameron Grimes. Nikita Lyons over Kanan Carter. Ilya Dragunov makes his in-ring return over Zion Quinn. Brutus Creed over Damon Kemp by DQ. In the main event, Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen over Gallus. We had another match And I tell you honestly, we got some mixed messages going on right now. Oh, and don't forget, in a couple of moments, we're going to do a little giveaway here. Everybody who was at the watch party yesterday and hung out for a little while is going to be in this giveaway. As I said, going forward, you know, the giveaways on the watch parties will not be announced in advance. People that show up, you know, I will randomly from time to time do giveaways, not just on the watch parties. We'll do them here as well. Well, maybe we'll do one next week. We'll see. But we had a match to determine who advances to Halloween Havoc to be part of the ladder match for the vacated NXT North American Championship. Yesterday, Wes Lee defeated Tony D'Angelo by referee stoppage. Now, contrary to what some people believe, that I paid someone off to smash Tony D'Angelo in the knee with a pipe underneath the ring when people weren't looking, since that motherfucker was too cocky to come out and take a picture with yours truly 2 weeks ago when I was in Orlando. I know a lot of people think that, but that's not the case. Yesterday in the match, towards the end of the match, Wes Lee threw Tony D'Angelo charged to the corner where Wes Lee was. Basically, he got dropped face first into the turnbuckle. I know, Tonya Harding. Why? Still remember that, man. What was that, 1994? Somewhere around that time. Tonya Harding smashed Nancy Kerrigan. Anybody ever see the honeymoon video of Tonya Harding? True story. I promise you, you will all love this story if you're not aware of it already. True story. Back in the 90s, I used to sell a VHS tape on eBay. I know some of you know this already. I used to sell a VHS tape on eBay, and it was wrestling related. And what happened was, on the tape, I still have the original porn live bait. I have it in a box inside, and maybe I'll show you the... I'm not kidding. I mean, that tape is... It's worth a lot of money. Any of you remember Chastity, that was a valet in ECW for a little while, and then she went to WCW? She was in the corner of Hack when the Sandman was in WCW. Chastity was in a porn called Live Bait. She did an oral sex video with another woman and a guy. And I have the video. So on eBay, I sold a tape, and on the tape had that scene from Live Bait. It had the Beulah McGillicuddy infamous video with the silver bullet. You know, I'll just leave it at that. And then, you know, you're like, okay, what else could we fill on the tape to make it worthwhile? Because that's not enough to sell on eBay. So I took Kimona Wanalea when she did the strip tease dance atop the Raven's Nest on the ECW Arena, put that on there. And then I also put on there Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee on the boat, and Tonya Harding's wedding night. And the reason why I put Tonya Harding in there is because a lot of you may not know, Tonya Harding actually did something with AAA. I covered it on This Week in Wrestling History. Any of you out there, maybe if you enjoy Conan's podcast, because I know him and Disco Inferno and, you know, a few others there, they answer a lot of your questions. I wonder if anybody ever asked him about when Tonya Harding was going to be part of AAA. If I remember, wasn't she supposed to be in the corner of the Love Machine? Maybe Eddie Guerrero too? I don't think so. I don't know if Eddie was still there at the time. This might have even been before 1994. But Tonya Harding was supposed to have a multi-appearance deal, I'm pretty sure, with AAA. But I put that on the video, and I sold so many copies. And, you know, I'll tell you one more little tidbit. When I was working for XPW in 2002, I was still selling those tapes on eBay. And one night we were in a hotel room and I was hanging out with Vic Grimes. And, you know, we were just talking about stuff like that. And, you know, he knew about the video that I sold. He's like, listen, next time we have a show, could you bring one of those tapes with you? I was like, sure. So I had a few people that asked me for that tape, but I made a lot of money on those tapes back then. eBay in the 90s, yeah, you could sell 20 bucks a pop. Those tapes cost about $1.60, those blank tapes, and you just dub. I mean, the amount of money that our video and Paul Heyman made in the 90s off of VHS tapes is sick. Believe me, I had no idea. When we used to go to ECW Arena, even like the Gangsta's Paradise, I said earlier, you paid, if I remember, it had to have been $20 or $25 for those tapes. And it was only costing them about $1 to make. You know, you used $1, you $1.10, and then you put a sticker on it. You remember the R Video stickers? Those were all computer, you know, Avery labels. And they used to sell them for $20, $25 a pop. So I never saw that video, Robin. I'm not even going to say what that video is because I don't want anybody even Googling it. Disgusting. You are disgusting. So that was NXT yesterday. Now, as far as Tony D'Angelo, since we were talking about that, here's the mixed messages going on right now. They had the referee stoppage. Some people thought maybe a head injury, and some people thought knee injury because he was holding his knee. I've had two people that I reached out to that get back to me. I actually reached out to three. Third person hasn't gotten back to me yet. And I asked, you know, like, what's the deal with Tony D'Angelo? Does he really have an injury? One person told me that he tweaked his knee and, you know, hopefully he doesn't need surgery. He went for an MRI a week ago and they went, you know, they haven't made the results public yet. That's what one person said to me. Another person said to me that this might be more storyline driven. So you don't know who to believe right now. So right now, and I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm surprised that there's mixed messages being sent out right now. You would think that Wes Lee could pin Tony D'Angelo. You know what I mean? Like, there's no controversy there. Tony D'Angelo's lost matches before. He's still new in wrestling. So to do a referee stoppage tells me that he may have legitimately tweaked his knee. For this person to say that he actually went and got an MRI, that's kind of, you know, like really getting into a lot of detail if it wasn't true. But I'm going to tell you right now, you know, don't report it as news. Right now, there's mixed messages coming out of it. Hopefully, he didn't tear anything. You know, tweaking your knee is a lot better than tearing your knee. So, yeah, it didn't look like a storyline injury. It looked like the referee stoppage. I watched it yesterday, and it looked like it was a legit ref stoppage. Wes Lee looking a little overly sympathetic, you know, that kind of felt a little bit too scripted. But, you know, a lot of you are still saying, you know, could Nash Carter be returning? I'm telling you, it's not going to happen overnight. But, you know, what happened with him, you know, with that Nazi gesture, which was many, many years ago, you know, a lot of people have forgiven him. And there's been no sign of him, you know, being this kind of person. It was just a stupid gesture, and he has done a lot of damage control, no pun intended, behind the scenes. I think you may see MSK reuniting as a team. Maybe not before the end of 2022, but I think, provided he doesn't get injured or fuck up, I think you're going to see him back. More people I talk to, the more people I hear that say, yeah, no, Nash Carter, there's been, you know, some, you know, damage repaired. He's not a bad person. From what I hear from everyone, he's not a bad person. So everybody says and does stupid shit in their lifetime. You know, it's what you do when you're not under the radar. See, that's the thing. If he would have made the Nazi gesture now, you know, and then apologize, and then, oh, I got to do, learn this, and I got to go this, and I have to educate myself. Well, only time will tell. And then sometimes people feel is someone apologizing simply because they got caught. But when you realize how many years ago that happened, and then you realize how many years have gone by, and there is no sign of anything remotely, you know, then you say, okay, you know, this is many, many years ago, and it's like one stupid thing. Hell, You don't think that if I shave my mustache right now and I just leave this little piece right here and I look in the mirror, you don't think that I turn around and go, hey, honey, who do I look like? You know, what is she going to say, Charlie Chaplin? You know what she's going to say. The difference is I'm not going to take a fucking picture and pose and put it online. Or take a picture and pose, period. It's awful, you know? All right. I think we're going to start wrapping this up, everyone. I think we talked about everything that we needed to talk about tonight. I'm just looking a little bit further. So, let's do the watch party giveaway. Let's do it quickly. All right, so here's the deal. We're going to give away two prizes tonight. Instead of one winner, we're going to have two. And I'll tell you why. Originally, one person was going to win both of these shirts. The White Rabbit, Feed Your Head, Who Killed the World shirts. Here's the problem with this. The shirt on the left, the Hangman shirt, and this is for Bray Wyatt return, by the way. I don't think we need to keep talking about that. But that shirt on the left, for anybody that's looking to buy it, that's not being released until the end of October. It's not going to be released till the end of October. So if I give away a shirt tonight, you ain't getting it for 5 weeks. The one on the right, though, with the White Rabbit, that one is already available. So what I'm going to do instead tonight is I'm going to spin the wheel twice, and we're going to have two people win the White Rabbit shirt. So this is everybody who was there yesterday, hung out for a little bit. Some of you who are on stage, your names are listed twice. I didn't bundle them together. I figured we spread it out on the wheel. Some people were asking me, hey, could you do that? So let's spin this wheel twice, and let's see who wins a shirt. Wow, I haven't spun one of these wheels in a while. Where's the spin? Where's this? Oh, here we go. Good luck. Let's see who wins. Two winners tonight each gets a White Rabbit shirt. Can't wait for Friday SmackDown, by the way. RP Crack Donald. Congrats, my friend. You get one of the shirts. So, RP Crack Donald, we got to take him off the wheel. So it adds the odds for someone else. So RP Crack Donald, did he disappear? Hold on. He will disappear in 3, 2, 1. Okay. RP Crack Donald is gone. So he's got a shirt. Let's see who else gets a shirt. And don't forget, this Friday we have the SmackDown and the Rampage watch parties. We might do a giveaway. We may do a giveaway. Not guaranteed, but I usually don't clickbait. I don't ever clickbait. So if I say there will be, there probably will be. So Fly. So Fly gets a shirt. So congrats. RP Crack Donald. So Fly, get in touch with me, either DM me or email me your shipping address. And Friday we get the next Bray Wyatt teaser. I thank you all for sending me all of the bullshit that's floating around there. People are still trying to plant the seed with Corbin. Yo, let me say one other thing about Malachi Black with this Bray Wyatt stuff. They put two lines of music lyrics in the code for the source code for the video that we aired on Monday. I showed you the two lines. Those are the first two lines for Aleister Black's theme music. Under no circumstances do I crap on WWE for putting a line in there to try to divert people and throw people off. I mean, you know, people do that. You know, they throw little comments. It's all in good fun. Look, even the Jericho Appreciation Society, didn't Angelo Parker tonight say, you know, acknowledge us? And they're using the AEW Galaxy. You know, they're taking lines, you know, to bite off at WWE a little bit. I don't find any issue with it. It's all in good fun. Wrestlers just having fun. Putting those two lines in there, that's feeding into the bullshit that is online. But I absolutely love that WWE trolled a few people over the weekend. That tic-tac-toe stuff was priceless. And you know what's sad about it? all the people that, you know, did all these blogs and videos and stuff, and they know that it was bullshit, and they're doubling down on it because, again, they just, they do anything to get your attention. Just click, click on me, click on me. And you keep doing it, you know, then there's an old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So, yeah, the AEW Galaxy appreciate us. It's fine. You know, it's okay. You think Roman Reigns gets angry at that? No. You think WWE gets angry at that? No. It's all right. It's all good fun. Crest thinks the tic-tac-toe is on Friday. You know what? Maybe WWE does that now just to troll people again. But the funny thing over the weekend is it was a TikTok video, and whoever leaked it out, they put tic-tac instead of TikTok. And then somebody went out of their way and drew hearts and clubs. And then it started, oh, the heart represents Sasha Banks and the Naomi represents the clubs. And I'm like, okay, that makes no sense. Did any of them kill their father with patricide? What about, you know, the Florida Championship Wrestling video? It's Bray Wyatt. It's not even an argument. It's 100%. Some people, I think, insist to keep it unclear because they just want to be surprised. And I don't have any issue with that. So, all right, everybody. As you could hear, my nose is about to explode. I can't believe this is 9 days being on this crap, but I hope by this weekend, you know, I start testing negative and we get this freaking COVID shit out of here. So, Kane did kill his father, but why would Glenn Jacobs be coming back? Could you imagine? I mean, if Vince McMahon was still, can you imagine? And you know what? Wouldn't be surprised if they throw a little clue to try to make people think, let's see something with Knob County or whatever the fucking place he mayors. So, all right. Charlie, I'll answer all your questions tomorrow. We got the mailbag. I got your whole paragraph of stuff. We'll talk about Triple H as well and Vince. By the way, Chris Van Vliet posted a great video yesterday saying, like, you know, like, how are the people going to react the first time Triple H does a creative decision that people don't like? If you are a fan of Chris Van Vliet, go check out that video. It's pretty good view, pretty good watch. So, Knox County. What did I say? Knob County? Knob County. All right, everyone. It's been real. I thank you for spending part of your evening with yours truly. If you have any questions, comments pertaining to anything that I talked about tonight, feel free to post it in the comment section. As you saw, I responded to a lot of you from Monday. I will definitely do so a little bit more tonight. And to be honest with you, I think I will definitely be watching this tonight. Let go of that fella. Bandito! Bandito! That was awful, man. Totally inexcusable. Totally inexcusable. But rest in peace, Coolio. 59 years old. Everyone, stay safe. For all my friends affected by Hurricane Ian, again, everyone here is with you. And as Excalibur said for Dynamite tonight, you know, hopefully, you know, we gave you a little bit of entertainment just to get your mind off of what's going on. Hope everybody's safe. And remember, items destroyed can always be replaced. Always be replaced. Just hang in there. And if anybody, you know, needs any specific plugs or anything, you know, I could be of assistance with, you could always DM me or email me, dontony@dontony.com. So, and one last plug. Yeah, I might as well, because we talked about it. I kind of teased it late last week. November 3rd, Thursday, probably 8 p.m. start time. Mark it down on your calendar. The podcast Forbidden Door returns. The first one that I ever did was with Jason Solomonster. The second one was with Joe Cronin. And the third, like WrestleMania 3, JD from New York will be joining me right here for a couple of hours. And it is going to be a bond burner. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be one that I think people will be talking about for a very, very long time. So everyone, be well, stay safe. Much love as always. Thank you for hanging out tonight. If you are interested, tomorrow, probably early to mid-afternoon, you will see the mailbag video posted here. It will not be live. I mean, I might premiere it live, but I'm going to record it in advance. And then Saturday, I will return 11:05 a.m. for the Don Tony Show. We'll talk about SmackDown, talk about Rampage. We'll talk about the latest Bray Wyatt teaser. We'll probably have some Easter eggs that we need to uncover. But that's the good thing about doing the show Saturday morning. That gives me the whole night to do a little research and put some stuff together and do another deep dive. So they're going to be going on for a while. I know there's a lot of people now that are trying to say that it's going to be revealed at Extreme Rules. The only reason why they're saying that is because if you look at some of the matches that are being advertised for Extreme Rules, look in the top left-hand corner. You will see fireflies and you will see a lantern or lights from a lantern. So people think that the reveal. I think what's going to happen in Extreme Rules is I think that's when we're going to start seeing those really hardcore vignettes like what they did with Edge when he returned after getting kicked out of Judgment Day. I think Extreme Rules is going to be the second stage of these vignettes. I don't think Bray Wyatt comes back in Extreme Rules. I think that would be very, very premature unless, as we talked about on Monday, maybe Saudi Arabia is really pushing for a Bray Wyatt return. So we'll see. No idea if he's going to be on Raw or SmackDown yet. My opinion, he'll probably be on both. He'll probably be on both. If it was up to me, I would put Bray Wyatt on Raw. I think he would be better on Raw than SmackDown. But we'll see. As it goes along, we'll see where it goes. We'll see who he feuds with. By the way, who's feuding with Roman Reigns right now? Anybody? You notice with Sami Zayn, Honorary Uso, Bloodline, all this stuff. Meanwhile, you realize that for the last couple of weeks, Roman Reigns doesn't have any feud at the moment. So Logan Paul's not till November. That's not until Saudi Arabia. That's not until November. A lot of people are not happy about Logan Paul. Me, I'm fine with it. I'm sure JD and I will talk about it because our show will be 2 days before Saudi Arabia. But for those out there that aren't thrilled about Logan Paul facing Roman Reigns, you know, we still have, 6 weeks before then? We need to see something else in the meantime. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. I heard Aaron Judge hit home run 61 tonight. Very, very cool. I will watch that. And I'll see you all again, either tomorrow with the mailbag or Saturday morning for the Don Tony Show. Good night, everybody. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.